Hello. Hello, hello. How are you today? Good. Glad to hear that. Reading Acts chapter 2, I couldn't think of a feast name. And I tend not to write things down. I tend to say, God, just like today, God, I want you to speak through me, and I want you to guide me and control me. And unfortunately, as a man, I can't remember everything. I fail. Maybe when I get things wrong, that I'll listen to what I said. I wish I would have said the correct thing, but it wasn't incorrect enough that I had to erase the whole thing, so I just left it. And like I've said before, I don't have the ability to erase once I start, so here I am live. What is it, March 30th? March 30th already. Is time not going faster and faster and faster? That's for a reason. That's because the Lord's coming back. Time is getting sped up big time. So, anyways, I want to explain feasts. Feasts, since I couldn't remember what feasts were. And so, you can find those in, Leviticus 23. And I don't know if I should read that. Should I read Leviticus 23 and bore the living beans out of you? Yeah, why not? Let's go to Leviticus 23. I'll try and speed things up. And the Lord, this is God speaking to Moses out in the desert for 40 years. The Hebrews were out in the desert for 40 years, not Jews. And that'll probably be my next message, I think, because people don't know the difference between a Jew or an Israelite or a Hebrew, or I think they're all the same, but they're not. They're not. When Jesus appeared on the scene, there were Jews and there were true Hebrews that were the seed of the 12 children of Israel. You'll read where it says the 10 lost tribes, they just disappeared. Well, they didn't disappear. If you read in chapter 2, see that Peter was talking to them. So they couldn't have disappeared that much, because they were there. They were from all around the world, it said, for that feast. So they didn't disappear entirely. Okay. Same with the tribe of Judah. They came back. They didn't totally disappear. But they all disappeared after the year 70 AD, when Israel got wiped out. They lost everything. Lost everything. Now you got a new Israel that isn't anything to do with the Bible. It's been hijacked. That little nation. But that's a whole other big story, and I don't want to get into that right now. But, all right, because I'm talking about feasts. So, Leviticus 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, at evening, is the Lord's Passover. And the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. So, one follows directly after the next day, and that lasts 7 days. And the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. I was going to go back to five for a second. Remember the Passover, it's a set of Passover? That's Jesus' Passover too, right? This is the Lord. Remember Passover in the upper room? Okay. And then the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. After the Lord, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Verse 7, the first day you shall have an holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. So you're not going to do no kind of work on that day. You're going to show reverence to God, because on the seventh day he rested from creation of everything that is seen. Verse 8, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest unto the priest. Once you get to that promised land of the milk and honey, here's what you're going to do. You're going to bring what is harvested, and you're going to bring it unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you, and on the morrow after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. And he shall offer that day when he wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. What was that? You know what that was? Who was Jesus? Who did John say he was when he walked up to the river? Here he is, the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God. Takes away the sins of the world. So, the thing you have to realize about the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Testament brings in the New Testament. Everything has its own way of being the same but different. God, with Christ, when he was here on earth, the same thing, just a different way. He was the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. But this is something that God said they should do. Verse 12, and you should offer that day, you either wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, a fourth part of an hin. You can look up what the heck all that is. I could probably sit there and explain it, but I'm not going to. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. All your generations and all your dwellings. That's why when Jesus is around, they were having those feasts still in his day. Verse 15, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheath of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even on to this morrow, after the 7th Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. So 50 days have gone by for that next one. 17, ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. First fruits is a feast. 50 days after. Verse 18, and ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. You know, I say to yourself, what in the world, why are they doing all this sacrificing and stuff, animals and food, and, well, God's holy. God is holy, and we're full of sin. We're full of sin, and we need something to sacrifice to be put in place of us.
So that's why Jesus died on the cross. Sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. It covers our sin, just like they were doing with all that stuff.
Verse 19, then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the peace shall weigh them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. Verse 21, and ye shall proclaim unto the self same day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So, whatever. I don't know if you ever had a garden, but if you had a garden, you raised it, and you have to leave a certain part in case there were people that didn't have food, so they can come and take it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, the 1st day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made of fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this month, there shall be a day of atonement, it shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. And whatever soul it be that doth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. Wow, some pretty serious stuff, right? These are things I'm telling you. You better do them. If you don't do them, not only are you cut off from the people, I mean, it's possible God will just destroy you, kill you. Verse 31, you shall do no manner of work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Don't know how old you are, but there was a time that on Sundays, there's a whole other thing of craziness, because the Sabbath is on a Saturday, you know that, right? It's not Sunday. You know that the Roman Catholics changed the calendar. Do you know what all the days mean? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Look into it. Look into those pagan days, what they mean each day means. Saturn worship. Sun worship. That they still do today. Did you know that? They still worship that. Same with months. Same with months. How did they come up with January and February and March, April, May, June, July, August, September? What do those mean? Where did they come? Well, they all came from pagan meanings. Do a study on that. Do your early days and months. Changing of the calendar. The calendar used to be a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar. Take the time to look all that stuff up. See why they did it. What's that all about? What's that all about? Why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? Then you'll see why God is doing all these feasts. Why is he doing that? Because he wants people to remember him. He wants people to remember him. How often and how quickly do we forget God in our lives? Think about it. Think about it. When's the last time you talked to God, prayed to God, read his word, talked to other people about God, celebrated God? Maybe you're those one a week people to go to church, head out to a religion, a building. I don't know. Is that right? Is that what we're supposed to do? Think about it. Think about it. Think what God's word says. All right. Getting off the rails here. So let's see. Where was I? 31, you shall do no matter work. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. 32, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, from even until even. Shall you celebrate your Sabbath? Now the Jews also celebrate the day different than we. We start the day at midnight, 12 o'clock. They started it at 6 o'clock. 6 p.m. A little bit different than ours is how they call the day. And the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And on the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile. Boy, I can't say servile, can I? Servile. And ye shall do no servile work therein. I keep wanting to say service. 37. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Verse 38, besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which ye give unto the Lord. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days, and on the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall cut, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate in the seventh.
Something wrong with my lips today. I'm going to slow down maybe a little bit. 42, ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Now, I can't think of the name of those, but when I was a young buck, I got a job, and the guy happened to be a Jewish man, and he actually built those booths, or he put them up, because a lot of times what they would do is the people that had them, they'd store them in the garage, and so they had people that would put them together and take them apart every year, and they still do that. They still do that. I saw that. I only lasted 2 days with that guy, because second day I started bringing up Jesus, and it was all over with. So, but at least I got to see that. I got to see what those booths were. You can look it up and see what that is. But I know they still do that because I actually took them down for 2 days. And I was going to witness to a man. I didn't know he was a Jew at the time. I mean, I should have. What am I, stupid? I'm down taking those down in a totally Jewish neighborhood. Oh, well. So I...
Oh, 43 hours in the realm still in heaven. Then your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I was as clear to Israel, the feet of the Lord. So go about the feast of the Jesuit chapter a couple more times and then break them down. Break down each verse. The way to do that is actually pick out one verse and copy, paste it, put it in your search engine, and then after that verse, put commentary, and then you'll find a bunch of sites and see what it says, and maybe you don't understand that somebody that's maybe more well-learned than you are can explain it better. That's how you get into the Bible. You gotta, don't take it, you know, the book at a time. Each chapter at a time. Each verse at a time. Each word at a time, actually, when it comes down to it. Very important. Very important that you study. And the thing about God's word is that you could think you got it all nailed down. You know, you read something and you thought, man, I know this. I know what God's saying now. I know what he's saying now. But then you'll either read another part of the Bible, or you'll be praying, or whatever, man. All of a sudden, you got read the same thing, and you got a whole different insight. God's Word is alive. God's Word is alive. No doubt. God's Word is alive. It's every word is alive, just like Jesus is alive. He was the Word. He is the Word of God. 1 John, read it. He's the Word. So there you read, or I read. Maybe you read it too with me. Leviticus 23. So you had a total of seven different festivals there. Seven different ones throughout the year. Christians, they celebrate, Christmas? And Easter. Two pagan holidays. Did you know that? They're two pagan holidays. They're going to the Roman Catholic system again that came down from Rome, and their pagan system of following false gods. Look that up. Look that up if you didn't know. If you wonder why you're putting up a Christmas tree. If you wonder why Easter is all about bunnies. shouldn't be celebrating either one of them. I haven't for years and years and years and years and years. After you know the truth, why would you celebrate Christmas? All right. See, I can go off, and then there I can start talking about that, and the next thing I know, I'm talking an hour about that. So I'll try and remember things as they come to my head. If I remember that, I said I'll come back to that, but I probably won't. There's too many things to talk about besides that. Just do your own research. Do your own research next time there's a holiday. Halloween. What is Halloween? That satanic holiday. But it's so cute to put your kids in scary costumes and let them go eat candy. But what are you doing? You're following a pagan satanic holiday. See what it really is. See what it really is. So seven Passovers. I'm telling you, I'm not with it today. I can't blame it on my lips. It's my brain. My brain's all brain farted up. I just want to tell you the Jewish festivals. There's the Passover again. There's seven, the Passover. And that included slaying of the Passover lamb on the 14th of the first month. Partaking of the lamb, observing the Passover Sabbath on the 15th. That lasted 7 days. The first day coincided with the Passover on the 15th. And it continued to the 21st day of the first month, Nisan. The 15th and 21st were Sabbaths. Remember, the Jews had their own calendar. Ours is not the same as what they had. Then we had the second feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Why unleavened bread? Leaven represented sin. It was also the type of bread eaten the night that they all left Egypt. On the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was the offering of the wave sheath. Wave sheaf. And then you had the third feast, which is the one I could not remember when I was talking in Acts 2. That is the Feast of First Fruits. And that's where the wave sheaf was the offering of the first of the barley harvest. And that represented Christ's presentation before the Father on that day. Sunday the 16th of Nisan in 31 AD. No, what am I talking about? I was going to give you dates. I'm not going to give dates. I was going to get into when the Lord's coming back. I think it could really, really, really be narrowed down. Really be narrowed down. It ain't far away. It's yours. It's still yours. Not many, though. Not many. And maybe that'll be my next thing I talk about. All right. John 20:17, I had as a note. I don't know why I had it as a note, because just reading out of the Bible here. I don't know, look it up and see what John 20:17 says. This was called the first fruits of the harvest, and it represented Christ. It was called the first fruits from the dead. Go into 1 Corinthians 15:22-23. It says, "For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Then we got the fourth feast, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. Oh, man. I think I said something wrong. Here I'm saying, let me see something. No. I'll keep going. Like I said, I can't change it anyway, so the heck with it. I'm imperfect, man. I'm imperfect. Shame on me. Shame on me. Shame on me. Feast of Trumpets is the fifth feast. This was celebrated on the first day of the seventh month. Its purpose was to herald the coming of the Day of Atonement on the tenth day, calling the people to prepare their hearts, examining their lives, and making things right with God. The sixth feast, Day of Atonement. This was understood to be a day of judgment when all sin was dealt with and the people dealt with. The people. The priests in the tabernacle temple were cleansed, and then the scapegoat, a type of Satan was held responsible for their sins, having placed them on his head, and he was led away into the wilderness. You can find that in Leviticus 16. If you want to look up that deal for the scapegoat. Two goats were chosen. One little guy made it out. One little guy got sacrificed. Seven, the Feast of Tabernacles. It was the last, and that's 5 days after the Day of Atonement. That would be a joyous feast of tabernacles. And that would begin. And it was a reminder of the children of Israel dwelling in tents in their journey to Canaan. But we can also look at it as being prophetic of the future rest in heaven of the faithful, our final destination. It was a joyous time because the people felt cleansed from the burden of their sins, and they were at peace with God. This feast lasted for 8 days with sacrifices each day, the 15th and the 22nd. So now it comes down to, should Christians still keep these feasts? Christians, I'm talking about a born-again, Holy Spirit-filled Christian. Should they follow those same feasts? No. 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 First off, that was for those peculiar people. Those 12 tribes, descendants of Israel, children of Israel. And because over and over and over and over again, they kept messing up and not listening to God, not following his laws, not following his feasts, not doing what they were supposed to do, but go instead into sin and rebellion, what happened? It all changed when Christ hit the scene. When Jesus appeared, it all would begin to be the beginning of the end of those people. So does the Bible say that the sacrifice and offerings will cease? For some reason, people like to go into Daniel and misquote a lot of Daniel. They come up with this 69th and 70th week garbage. Garbage. Absolute garbage. 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 That the 70 weeks were not fulfilled already, and they have been. They were fulfilled with Jesus. The destruction of Israel. The ceasing of the sacrifices. That happened when Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross, and that curtain was split in two. Okay, so Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So it ended. And who is he that's talking about? Jesus. He is Jesus. Middle of the week is 3.5 years. A week isn't a week 7 days, it's 7 years. Was there historical evidence that the early earthly temple services of sacrifices came to an end in the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy? Yes. Yes, let's go to the Bible, see what the Bible says. Let's not guess or wonder. The Bible usually will have an answer for everything. Just got to look for it. Matthew 27:50-51. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Jesus said, it's finished. It is finished. That whole system was finished. New system came into play. New Testament came into play. So where do they have these festivals at? Well, we started out in the wilderness, we know that. They were out there for 40 years. Why were they 40 years? Because of their disobedience to God. Whole generation had to die out in the wilderness because of their disbelief. They're being little bad boys and girls. What did they do right after they got out of Egypt and Moses up there talking to God, getting all this information from God? What do? They make a golden calf. They throw a big party, big orgy party. They start worshiping a golden calf. Isn't that hard to comprehend? To me it is. Then here they saw all these things that happened in Egypt. All these things that happened in Egypt. They walked across a sea. I don't know how deep it was, but they looked on the, each side of them. There was water held up. Saw all that. But boom. There they go, worshiping a pagan god. And they would go to do that over and over and over and over and over. Sometimes they'd follow God. Sometimes they'd listen. But, you know, they beg for God's mercy. God, please, 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 we messed up. And God would give them, you know, say, okay, I'm going to forgive you. Many times they had repercussions for what they did. One of those was when they were taken away in exile by Babylon. So they had a time and place where they went back and forth all through the Old Testament. You'll see that. 1 minute they're serving God, the next minute they're totally going against Him. And that's why they were destroyed. That's why they were destroyed. And that's why if you see whatever is there going on in what they call Israel nowadays is not the real thing. It's not real. It's a replica. A replica by Satan, filled with satanic people. People that worship Satan. I'm not strong to say it, but it's the truth. It's the truth. There's a seed of of Satan. Did you know that? The seed of Satan. I think that's the next thing I'm going to talk about. It's the serpent seed, the seed of Satan. That people maybe don't believe. Maybe they never heard it. Maybe they disagree with. I don't know. I always kind of thought in my head something went on there in the Garden of Eden. And then you start reading what Jesus says. And the more you read the Bible, the more you see there's different people in this world. Different people. And one comes off the seed of Satan. One comes off the seed of God. And I'll get into that. Maybe next time. Maybe next time. So, yeah, they had these festivals out in the desert. And once they got into the promised land and they built the temple, they would have those festivals there. And did you know they had different kinds of ordinances? Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Gone. Gone. Jesus did it all, man. Did it all. Everything changed. Everything changed. Everything changed. So, if you think that there's a God's chosen people, do you know who they are? Right off the bat, if I say, okay, who's God's chosen people? Who's God's chosen people? Tell me. No, you didn't say that. You didn't say that, did you? You know what God's chosen people are? They're Christians. Christians. Those that believe in him. Those that, what he did in fulfilling everything, and what he said and what he did, he fulfilled the whole Old Testament prophecies of his coming. And those that believe in him are God's chosen people. Period. So get that right in your head and your mind. It started out with Abraham. He said, all the nations are going to be blessed by you. So if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian believer in Jesus, that he is the Son of God, you, my friend, are the chosen vessel. You are the chosen people. Nobody else. If you don't believe in God, you're an antichrist. You're an antichrist. So maybe the first answer that came to your head of God's chosen people was a certain group of people. Nowadays, well, guess what? They're not God's chosen people because they don't believe in God. Or in Jesus, I should say. They believe in God, but they believe in a different God. They believe in Satan. Them and their little Talmud book of evil that they read and study. Did you know that the current so-called, what you first thought would be the chosen people, that they don't even read the Bible like you and I do? They don't study and believe in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Did you know that? What Moses wrote? That they came up with their own writings? Their own writings? The Babylon Talmud? Look that up. Fill your mind, man. Fill your mind. Open your mind. You want to have your mind opened by God? Study and learn? You just learn now that you're God's chosen people. If you're a Christian. It's awesome, ain't it? So, that's what you're supposed to support. You're not supposed to support any kind of antichrist system. Any person, any system, any religion, any government, any anything that is Antichrist. You should not support that. Should not in any way, shape, form. You have something called a Christian Zionist today, brought up by some fat freaking dude. I think he's in Texas. And he brought up that whole movement, which is totally anti-Bible, anti-God, anti-everything. Don't get sucked into that one, man. If you do, you're stupid. You're stupid. All right. When I go off in tangents, I don't know. Either forgive me or thank me. I don't know which one it should be. So these ordinances, what are they all about? It's Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days. Uh-oh. What is Paul saying? What is Paul saying about those? Saying that they got blotted out. And he's saying, well, let no man judge you because, well, they're not to be even really paid attention to anymore. What did all these offerings and yearly Sabbaths point forward to? Colossians 2:17. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. Christ himself is that reality. So all those things that they celebrated and all these laws, they had 1613 laws that God gave them. You got to do this, you got to do that. Well, those rules are done with. You know why? Grace. Grace, take that word and let it penetrate your heart and your soul and your mind. Grace, you're saved by grace. Saved by grace. Not of works, not of any kind of works. It's nothing you could do. Nothing you can do. They couldn't fulfill all those laws then. You couldn't do it now. You couldn't follow every one of them. It would be impossible. So that's why God had Jesus make it real easy. Here he is. Just believe in him. He's the sacrifice. He is the sacrifice. Sometimes people say, well, as a Christian, as a Gentile, should we do that? Are we required to do that and keep the law of Moses? We can look in Acts chapter 15, 1:5, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So, this is after Jesus died. They're still living in the past. Still living in the past. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So here they were, stuck in the past. Stuck in the past because they didn't believe in Jesus. So now they're still following that same old. When God made the same new, all over. When he died, everything's new. Everything's different. How are we doing on time here? Oh, by golly, we're moving along. So, anyways, if you're a Christian, you don't Number one, follow being circumcised. It's Mosaic law taught, because that law doesn't exist anymore. And you certainly don't keep all or any of his laws. Those 1613 laws. And you certainly don't do the feast thing. There's no need for sacrifices. There's need for remembrance, don't get me wrong. I actually believe it might be a good thing for a Christian to write down those feasts. And not celebrate them like they did. Because you're not going to go and, you know, grab a lamb and kill him in your backyard or anything like that. But just remember it. Remember it. Because maybe that'll help you to remember God more. Like they were supposed to. Like I said, you got all these other pagan holidays that they want you to believe in. Maybe believing in those are better to think about. And just celebrate them in your own way. Your own silly way. Instead of building a hut, go outside and put a tent out there. Spend the day or night out in the tent. Think about God and pray and fast. And just remember him. Remember God. That's all he wants. He wants us to remember him. He wants us to love him like he loves us. He loves us every minute of the day. Watches out for us every minute of the day. He just wants that same in return. Love me as I loved you. All right. So, Paul's going around doing his thing, and got a total different message. Total different message. He's teaching what Jesus told him to say and to preach. That's what he's doing. The man was saved and spent time with Jesus being taught. And this is what his version was, the right version. He's following that old ordinance and law crap. But here's what you should do. So in Acts 15:19-21, you know, Paul, he keeps anywhere he goes. He's going to a place and there's Gentiles, and he's preaching to them, and he's teaching them, and they're getting saved. First thing that happens is the Jews come and cause trouble. They stir up all kinds of trouble for him, saying, well, no, this isn't right. You're teaching, you know, the wrong stuff. So he heads back to Jerusalem. In Acts 15:19, we read, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. This is what they decided after Paul met up with the other apostles. They were still teaching Old Testament stuff, which I understand sometimes, but most times I don't. I don't understand how they stayed in that system. I don't understand how Peter was in that, and probably all the rest of the apostles, why they wanted to stay in jail with that. You know, when Peter, he went to Cornelius' house, and he didn't want to go. He said, I ain't going to Gentile's house, are you crazy? I'm going to eat with them. This totally goes against the law. I'm not going to do that. They were still in that belief system. And I kind of understand it, and I don't. because it's so different than Paul's. If there wasn't Paul, guess what? We wouldn't have any kind of Christianity today. It wouldn't exist. It wouldn't exist. The man wrote almost half the New Testament. It's from his writings that we gain our salvation. We know what grace is. We understand God and what Jesus did on the cross. So anyways, he gets there and he says, "Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in synagogues every Sabbath day, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day." So, in other words, the Gentiles and the Jews were hearing commandments about the feasts as Moses' books were read. In the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they're reading all that, the Gentiles. And they're trying to differentiate, should they be following those things or should they not be following those? So we move on. They wrote letters by them after this matter. The apostles and the elders and the brethren sent greeting unto the brethren, which are the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. I said that wrong, but oh well. Kill me. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. We gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So what is he saying? What are they saying? You got nothing to do with what we're doing with following those things. You don't have to do them. You're not us. You're not them still in their Old Testament mode. And I don't understand, because Jesus was with them for 40 days. After he came back, after he died, he spent time with the apostles, and he taught them. And you think they would have known every answer to every question. So there's that thing there, why? If you know, God bless you, but I don't know. I don't know why they still lived. Why did a Jew that got saved, got born again, and was saved by the grace of God, why did they still follow that old system? Makes no sense to me. Makes no sense to me. Do Christians do that nowadays? No, they don't have to, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't. I just read to you why we're not supposed to. We don't have to. Tell them a few things you should not do. Certainly, that you should abstain from meats offered to idols. I don't know that I can go anywhere today and walk in there and buy a hamburger, cheeseburger, fries, and it was offered to an idol. Doesn't exist anymore. And from blood, you'd have to go into the Old Testament and look that up. I can't remember where that's from, but you weren't supposed to eat the blood of from a living animal after you had killed it. Could mean, you know, there's sickos that drink blood. Sickos that drink blood. And, I have to debate whether I want to talk about that. But they drink the blood of human beings. That does happen today. Look up Androchrome, I think it's called. That's where a child is sacrificed. Before he's sacrificed, he's made to be scared out of his mind. And out of that excitement and being scared, or something goes into the blood that group of people inject into their own blood. They drink it or inject it into their own blood. And what does it do? It gives them renewed life. Gives them renewed life, and they live longer. That's why they do it. That's why if you see these kings and queens and all these people in these secret societies living until they're high 90s and hundreds. It's because they were doing that. Eating blood. And from things strangled. Don't eat from things that are strangled. Again, you can find that in the Old Testament. Look it up. And from fornication. Stay away from sexual sin. Those are the things. How many is that? One? Two, three, four things they told him. Four things they told him. Don't do these four things. That's 613. That's 613. Just don't do these four things. So, it all came down to what? Acts 15:28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So it's necessary that you don't do these things. Other than that, you're free as a bird. Free as a bird. So no, we don't follow those things. Ephesians 2:15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So he took it all, Jesus took it all upon himself. Brand new system. Ephesians 2:15, he did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. So there's no longer Jew or Gentile. No longer a difference. It all changed. It all changed on the cross. On the cross. And that's why I say, do you know who God's chosen people are? Who are God's chosen people? If you're a born-again Christian, you are. You are. You are. A new people. God's chosen people. The opposite of that is Antichrist people. People that don't believe. that Christ is God. And deservingly, they're all going to go to hell. Where they need to go. Especially these top leaders. Numbers 9:12. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to the ordinance of the Passover, they shall keep it. How did that have anything to do with Jesus? Well, they didn't break his legs on the cross, did they? They did it for the other two on either side of him. But they didn't have to break his bones. He's already dead on the cross. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against us, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Well, does that not say it right there? Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. All right. Got some time. Look up Psalm 111:7-8, Isaiah 58:13-14, Exodus 20:8-11, Mark 2:27-28, Exodus 31:13-18, Isaiah 66:22-23. Read those. See if that gives you any kind of insight. Of course, we know that there's the Ten Commandments. And that's a... That's meant for everybody and anybody. That wasn't just a Jew thing. It was a... given to all mankind. Don't go out and murder somebody. That was given because it portrays God. Those Ten Commandments. It portrays the perfect character of God and His righteousness. And when we have the Ten Commandments, they serve as rules. Serve as rules that we live correctly before our God. And those things are going to be used in judgment. Judgment and deciding who is worthy of eternal life. That's what they're there for. If you killed somebody, you're going to hell. But guess what? If you killed somebody, yes. God to forgive you and Jesus to cover you with that sin with his blood, guess what? You're not going to hell. You can be forgiven of that. Any sin that you could possibly do in this lifetime is forgiven if you're saved. Get saved. It could be one sin. It could be 10,000 sins. How many are you going to accumulate in your lifetime? What was that song? Billy Joel, only the good die young, only the good die young. That means that they didn't have enough time to sin their butts off their entire life. So go to Matthew 19:7-19, James 2:8-12, Revelation 22:14. Read those, get some insight. Is there any other thing that, any other
thing that those four things that they came up with. Any other prohibitions for Gentiles? Regarding food or stuff, or what are the other three things you said? Reading 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and Romans 14. You'll have insight on that. All right. I think I'm starting to lose it. Think I'm about done. Besides, oh my God. It's been over an hour. Sorry. Here, I meant to do the 20-minute things, and I'm not doing that. Anyway, so should a Christian, or does a Christian, should they follow a feast? No. We're not in that time period. We're in a whole different, we're in the church age now. Everything got changed. Should you remember those feasts? I believe so. We're supposed to remember God. Not in pagan holidays, but in feasts given to what were God's people at the time. I think it'd be absolutely fine to remember each feast. Write it down and celebrate it your way. Celebrating the Feast of First Fruits, well, have a big old party with your friends and family. Chow down. Enjoy life while we still have it. It's been so disintegrated by hatred and deceit and lies and filth in these last days. The only thing we have, guys, is God. God, that's it. He's our only hope. Imagine not having God in the world we live in today. Imagine not having God. How hopeless anyone would be. I mean, that would be, why wake up tomorrow? Why wake up tomorrow? There would be no reason to wake up. Some more rules and regulations would be thrown at you. So the more is taken away from you. So that you struggle more and more and more to pay bills. So you try not to become depressed and all the things that are happening in the world now. Praise God, we have God. We don't have to think about any of that garbage. Just give it to God. Give it to God. Do you know that? Just give it to God. If you have something that's bothering you or worrying you or you're scared about and you have fear, give it to God. Just say, God, hey, listen, this is what's in my mindset. I don't like it, but it's there. God, please, in the name of Jesus, take that away. Take that away. Take it away. And He will. He will. He'll heal you. He'll heal your mind, your body, your heart, your soul, your spirit. He's the master healer. He created you. He created you out of the dust of the earth. Can He do anything with you? Recreate you, remold you, remake you into His perfection? Is that what you're striving for? You should be. You should be. You should want to have God in your life so you can have peace and joy and hope. If you don't, you're in a whole lot of trouble, a whole world of trouble. And you're going to listen to lies and deceit and be fooled. Fooled with what's going on, fooled by fake media. Make sure you go to my news section. I keep adding different news sites that are not of this world, but give you news that is real.
Fill your mind with God. Fill your mind. Fill your mind. Pray as often and as much as you can during the day. I do it all day long. All day long. I'm that weirdo in the car that you see talking to himself. Or walking through a store talking to himself. I mean, the closer you get to God, the closer God gets to you. All right, well, anyway, sure, you're sick of listening to me. God bless you. God bless you today and everything and all you do. Spread the word of Jesus, even if it's one person, one phone call, one email, one text, whatever. Just mention God, mention Jesus. Mention Jesus. Save, tell people, hey, I'm saved, and this is what he's done for me in my life. Tell them so they know there's a difference, there's a change. There's a change. It's not all what is out there in this world now. All this nastiness and hate. Let them see you. Let them see Jesus. That's what they're supposed to see when they see you. Is that what they're seeing when they see you? And they look at you, they hear you. Are they seeing Jesus? They're supposed to be. They're supposed to be. And that should be drawing them to God. Wow, whoa. That guy's, he's not down and out. He's happy. He's happy. He's got it going on. Maybe not materially. Maybe he ain't got a big house. Maybe he ain't got a fancy car. Maybe he ain't got, you know, a big bank account. But man, something. He walks around, he got a smile on his face. He's got something inside of him I ain't got. Show that to the world. Show that to the world. That's what you're supposed to be doing. All right, well, praise you. Praise you, God. Thank you. Love you. Amen.